Listen, because we have very important things to say. Anytime we come to the Bible, there's always something important to say, because the Bible is the Word of God. And that's the best book in the world, and it's the only book that we can really take our counsel from, especially when it comes to matters that are spiritual and eternal. So sit up, fold your arms, is that what they say in the children's meetings? And listen really well. I have a verse tonight that I want you to turn to in the Word of God. It's found in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. Now there's a wee fella, has already gone to sleep here. All right, we'll look after him, we'll make sure he doesn't fall off the seat. Hugh, that's your responsibility. It wasn't my preaching that put him to sleep, it was all your lovely singing, by the way. All right, but I have this text that I want to read. I was thinking about the children tonight coming, I was thinking about everyone coming to Parents' Night, and this verse came to my mind, and you'll see why just in a moment or two. John chapter 12 and verse 20. In fact, I think it's 21. We were just checking that earlier. I was going to read verse 20 as well. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired, something coming up in my, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And that's the wee phrase that I want to leave with you tonight, children. We would see Jesus. And if God helps me tonight to bring a message where you see Christ, and you see the Lord, and you see your need of him, then this wee time together will be really worthwhile. So we're going to pray, going to ask the Lord to bless his word. Father, we thank thee for this history so long ago in the Gospels, when these men came to Philip with this desire in their heart, we would see Jesus. And tonight, as we close this meeting and come to your word in these few minutes, we would see him speak to our hearts. Let the focus of our attention now for this little while be upon Christ, and bless your word to the children that are here for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, something very special is next weekend. All right. It is called Easter. The word Easter is used once in the Bible. I don't mind using it. It's just telling us the time of the year. But something happened at Easter nearly 2,000 years ago. What do you think happened on Easter Sunday? What happened? He did. What happened on the Sunday, on the Lord's Day?
He rose back to life.
He rose back again to life. And so we rejoice. We're not getting our PowerPoint, so. There you go. Was that not up at all? Now you already had the Bible reading and everything for you to see. And you could have read it tonight. But anyhow, there we go. We had a nice welcome slide. It was welcoming you to Parents' Night. But we've done that verbally, so that's fine. So at Easter time, children, we remember, and we will be remembering next week, what happened at the end of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He died, went to the cross. He was crucified. Crucified for our sins. He was punished for us. He took the wrath of God on the cross. And it's a wonderful story. And we will give emphasis to that next week as we have the cantata taking part and as we bring the message. But on the Lord's Day, on Easter Sunday, he rose again. And we believe in the empty tomb. So we proclaim from our church, we proclaim it tonight, we proclaim it next weekend, Jesus Christ is alive. And he's alive forevermore. He's a risen Savior. The tomb is empty. You go to the tomb today, it's empty. But 2,000 years ago, it was also empty on that first Lord's Day, whenever the disciples came and they looked in. There was nobody because Jesus had risen from the dead. But what happened a week before? All right, this is now a week before. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. This is commonly called Palm Sunday. What happened a week before? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, around that time, a few weeks beforehand, he came to a village called Bethany. Now, in that village in Bethany, there were friends of the Savior. In fact, it's called the town of Mary and of Martha. And Lazarus lived there too. These three people lived in the home. And Jesus loved to visit their home. Wonder, does Jesus love to visit your home? Does he love to come and sit with you and spend time with you by the Spirit of God? He loved to come here because this was a home that loved him, a home that worshipped him, a home that had much time for the Savior. And they just loved it when the Lord Jesus Christ came and spent time with their family. The Word of God tells us, then Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now, do you remember what happened there just a few weeks beforehand? There was a man took very ill. His name was Lazarus. He's the brother of the two ladies that I've mentioned, Mary and Martha. And he was very sick. He was so sick that he was going to die. In fact, he did die. Now, when he was sick and Mary was caring for him and Martha too, they did the right thing. They sent for Jesus. Jesus, will you come? Come now. Your friend is sick. The one that you love is sick. But the Lord Jesus delayed coming. He didn't come immediately. He doesn't always come immediately when we appeal to him and call upon his name. He's always got a reason if there is a delay. And there was a reason. And he said it was for the glory of God. But when he came to Bethany, something had happened to Lazarus. He had died. And he was now four days in the grave, in a tomb. It was like a rock that was hewn out. And in there he was laid. And the Lord Jesus came to this scene just outside the city. It's like a cemetery. And the Jews were there. They were weeping, and Mary was weeping, and Martha was weeping. It was a scene of great sorrow because their brother was dead. And people had come, just like they come today, and they weep with us whenever our loved ones are taken. They came to sympathize with Mary and Martha. And they're weeping. And you know what the Bible says? It's the shortest verse in all the Bible. Jesus wept. He wept with them. He cried with them because he felt for them. But the Lord was able to do something wonderful. And he said, roll away the stone. And these sisters, they protested, but Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. But nevertheless, at his command, the stone was rolled away. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he commanded these powerful words. He said, Lazarus, he's speaking to a dead man. Lazarus, come forth. And from that tomb, Lazarus came forth, bound in his grave clothes, and he was risen from the dead. So this is the background to what is happening. Not long before the Lord Jesus goes to the cross, not long before he rose again from the dead. Now, Jesus comes to Bethany, and it says, they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Martha must have been a very good cook. It seemed to be her job in the house to prepare the meal. And she served. There was another time the Bible tells us when she served, but she was cumbered. I don't think she really liked doing it. And she felt, well, Mary's not helping me and nobody's helping me and I have to do this all by myself. Sometimes mums feel like that too, don't you? Somebody comes to your home and you have all the work to do. Nobody's helping you, and your husband doesn't help you, or nobody else in the family helps you, and you get a wee bit weary. And Martha was like that, but she's different. She's different now. She is happy to serve the Lord. She's happy to prepare the meal for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lazarus is alive. She was really overjoyed about that. And Jesus is visiting my home again, and she's overjoyed about that. So she's glad to serve. And then the Word of God says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Oh, Mary really loved the Lord. And on that day when she came, when he came to her home, as Martha was serving, Mary went to the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she had this very expensive box of perfume. And just to say to Jesus, "Jesus, I love you. I want to thank you for restoring my brother to life again. I want to thank you for your salvation that you provided for me." She broke open this box of ointment and she poured it out, very expensive perfume, all over the feet of the Savior. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. And the Bible says that the home was filled with the odor, with the scent of this ointment. You ever passing by somebody and they got really, really strong, beautiful perfume on? Well, this perfume just filled the whole house. There was a lovely, sweet smell in the home when Mary did that. And the Bible tells us she did it because of the death of Christ. She knew that the Lord was going to die very soon. And she did it out of love for the Savior. Now, many Jews came. We're thinking about just maybe a little bit before the Sunday, this Sunday that we're thinking about, Palm Sunday. Many of the Jews came. They came to the home to meet not just the Lord Jesus, and they did come to see him, but they came to meet with Lazarus. They had heard that he'd been raised from the dead, and they wanted to see him. This man that had been dead for 4 days, I would like to see him. And so many of the Jews came. And the Bible tells us in verse 12 of John chapter 12, on the next day. So now we've moved from the Saturday to this day. The next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and they cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And this is called the triumphal ride of Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem. All the people came out to welcome him to their town. It really was a great event on this particular Lord's Day. And where did Jesus go? He went to the temple. The temple was the house of God. It was the place where the Jews came to worship God. And very often there on the steps and among the pillars of the temple, people would congregate. They would come together, just like we're coming together, only very often they did it just outside. And some great teachers would come and they would teach the law. They would teach the things of God. And the Lord Jesus, he was a great master in Israel. And so he was there to teach the people at the temple. Now, it's right at this time, a week before Easter Sunday, on Palm Sunday, the Lord is there at the temple. He's teaching the people that we learn about these Greeks that come. All right? What do you think the word Greek means when the Bible uses that term? Well, number one, it means they were not Jews, okay? Number two, it means that they came likely from a distance. Number three, they obviously spoke the Greek language. So they were outside the Jewish family, but they had come to know the truth. They believed the truth. They believed the truth not as it is found in Jesus, but as it was found in the Jewish religion. We call them proselytes. I'm not expecting you to remember that term, but when somebody is brought into that religion, they are proselyted into the religion. And these Greeks had come to worship God. They had come because it was the Passover week and there was a lot of things happening now, and they had traveled a distance and they had come to the temple. Now, what do we know? What do we know about them? Well, there's only a little bit of information that is given in John chapter 12, and it's the only place we read about them. But what do we know about them? It's important. And there are things that we know. We know that they came to the temple, the house of God. We know that they came there to worship. The Bible tells us they came to worship God, the one true and living God. We know also that they came to worship at the feast. It's the feast of the Passover. Does anybody know why they had this feast, the feast of the Passover? Do you know what they were remembering when they were having the Passover feast? It happened every year. Something in the Old Testament, way back in the history of the Jews that happened. You read about it in the book of Exodus, Naomi. the Passover and the angel of death. 10 plagues came to the land of Egypt. They were the judgments of God. The last plague was that every firstborn son in the Egyptian's home would die. It was the night when the death angel passed through. In fact, every firstborn son in every home in Egypt would die. But the Jews were told what to do. They were to take a lamb, and they were to shed the blood of the lamb, and then they were to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts of their houses and on the lintel, the top post. And the Bible says that when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt, God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In other words, death will not come into your home. You are protected by the blood of the Lamb. And so those Jews that put the blood of the Lamb on their homes, they were perfectly safe because the Lord passed over. So they called it the Passover feast, and they were remembering what happened way back in the Old Testament. So they came to worship at the feast, but they also came to see Jesus. They heard that Jesus was there. They'd heard about Jesus. I think that they probably knew about what had happened just a few weeks previously. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now that would make you curious. That would make you think. I know if I was visiting a city or a town and I heard that there was somebody who had been dead for 4 days, but he was raised from the dead, I would want to meet the person that did that. And they heard that Jesus had done this wonderful miracle, and they wanted to meet Jesus. And I'm sure they'd heard about other miracles too. And so they come with this desire. We would see Jesus. They come to Philip. Philip was from a town called Bethsaida. Bethsaida, you can still find it in Israel. And it was on the borders of Israel, and it was near Gentile country. It was near where these Greeks had come from. And I find that the information the Bible gives about these Greeks, it's very, very challenging. And it's challenging for this reason. You see it here before you. Do you come to God's house? These Jews came to the temple. Do you come? It's important to come to the house of God. Do you come to worship God, to think about Him and to give Him the praise and the glory of your heart for all that He has done? Do you come to think about the Passover? What does that mean to us? Well, we talked about the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And so when we come, we're not just coming to remember the great history of the Bible and what God did back in Egypt. We are coming especially to remember the death of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, and what He accomplished for us upon the cross of Calvary. He is our Passover. And whenever we are saved by the grace of God, we come to know Him. The Bible talks about how the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin and washes us and makes us clean. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Do you come to worship? Do you come to think about Christ our Passover? Do you come to see Jesus? Have you this desire? Sirs, we would see Jesus. Children, mums and dads, are you saying that tonight as you come? Why did you come to church tonight? Did you come to meet with your friends? Well, that's all right. Your friends were here. Did you come because it's parents' night? Well, that's a good thing to come and support the children. Did you come to hear the preacher? There are people who come to encourage the preacher. That's good as well. Did you come to get the supper? I like supper too. Did you come to get whatever's under this here? Maybe there's a wee prize there. Is that why you came? Well, those are all reasons why people come and why children might come tonight. But the most important reason to come to church is I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him. And children, we need to see Him. And with this, I'll be very, very quick. You need to see Jesus tonight. You need to see Jesus in His life. Jesus lived in a way that you and I could never live. We were born into this world sinners. We grow up as sinners. We do wrong. You don't need to teach children to do wrong. I've never met any perfect child yet. And you don't need to teach them to do wrong. No, You'll soon discover from their earliest years, they will do wrong. They will disobey. They will break the commandments of God. But Jesus lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never said anything that was out of place. He never had a wrong thought, a sinful thought. He never did anything by way of action that was sinful. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was without sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. And he lived a life that was obedient. All right, we're always telling our children and our grandchildren, you got to be obedient. You got to obey your parents and you got to obey the things of God. Well, the Lord Jesus, he obeyed perfectly. And so he lived for us. You've got to see that he lived a life for us as our substitute. And you've got to see him in his death, because he not only lived for us substitutionally, taking our place, but he died for us. There upon the cross, he took our sin. What I deserve for my sin, to be punished forevermore in the darkness of a lost eternity, Jesus paid that for me. He died for me. Do you understand that? You want to see Jesus crucified for your sin upon the cross of Calvary. And then, of course, you want to see him in his resurrection. He didn't stay in the tomb. He was raised from the dead the third day, according to the scriptures. Jesus is a living Savior. He's alive forevermore. One day he's coming back again. And one day there's going to be a great judgment set up. And the Bible says we're all going to stand before him. What a judgment day it's going to be. You need to understand this as you see Jesus. Yes, I want to see him in his life, that perfect life. I want to see him in his death. He died for me. And I want to know that he's the living Savior. He was raised again and he's alive and he's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. But there's a judgment day. He's going to sit upon that throne. You want to see Jesus in that way too. And then in light of that, you want to see Jesus in his salvation. He came to save you, children. That's what you've been learning every Tuesday night, or when you come to Sunday school, when you come to God's house. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. I would to God tonight that you would see Jesus, that you would see him tonight as the Savior, that you would understand that you have a need in your heart, a need to be forgiven for your sin. And only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can take away your sin and make you fit for heaven. It has been our prayer that as you come to Parents' Night tonight, that you'll see him, you'll see him as the Savior, you'll turn to him in faith, whether you're a child or a mother, a father, another member of the family, a friend that has come, you're not saved tonight. We would see Jesus, the Savior of man. May you trust him. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this desire that the Greeks had all those years ago when they came to the temple to worship and they knew that Jesus was there, and they came to Philip and they said, we would see Jesus. We have come to the house of God tonight. We've come, Lord, for this Parents' Night, and we thank you for all that are gathered, but we would see Jesus, the Savior of man. Teach us again that he died for us. Teach us again that he took our place. Teach us, Lord, that he is the living Savior before whom we will stand one day. And Lord, for any that know not Christ, may they come to trust him even this very night. Hear our prayer and answer it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You need to come to the Savior, and we're going to sing about that just as we have our closing hymn at 701. Then we'll hand over to Andrew again just to tell you what's happening here, and then we'll have our supper. It says in this hymn, come to the Savior, make no delay. Don't keep putting it off to next week, to Easter, or to some other time. Come to the Savior, make no delay.